Good morning. It is 7:42 here on the Mighty 690, and it is time for our update with Melissa Johnson of the Montgomery County Action Council. Good morning, Melissa. How's it going?
Good morning, James. I'm great today.
Fantastic. Well, it's good to have you along here. And, of course, you come by every other month. So if folks maybe are hearing from you for the first time, always like to start out our chats together going over a little bit about Montgomery County Action Council, what y'all do, and what your objectives are.
Sure. Well, first off, Montgomery County Action Council does serve as the economic development agency for the county, and we have four main objectives, which are to create and retain jobs. By doing so, that can help to expand the tax base. We also want to promote economic diversity, and that really comes in when we're working with small businesses, entrepreneurs, and new industries. And then, of course, enhancing the quality of life for all citizens. So those are our four primary objectives as the economic development agency for the county.
Fantastic. Well, and I know that you have been busy here with a lot with MAC, and speaking yesterday, I know we had a big meeting here in the community regarding some, looking forward and what we want to decide as far as, development goes in the county. So I know you wanted to talk just a little bit about, kind of economic development and kind of what looks like for the life cycle of some of the projects and attracting, these companies to our area.
Sure. Well, I'll start by saying that economic development is slow moving. It's kind of like the tortoise and the hare. And oftentimes I feel like the hare because I like to move fast, stay busy, and I am very busy. However, when it comes to a project, those projects move more like a tortoise. It takes time for a project to come to fruition. And one of the things that we talked about yesterday at the County Commission meeting is that there are projects that we've been working on for over 3 years, projects that were in the works before I started as the director at MAC. And there are projects that might come to us today that will be still 3 years away from coming to fruition. Some projects move faster than others, but I thought this morning it might be good to talk a little bit about how we attract businesses to the community, how we get those leads, and then what are some of those guardrails in place that kind of help us make the decision on whether or not a project's going to be a good fit for Montgomery County.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the first thing that's really important is marketing the community. We don't market Montgomery County Action Council, we market Montgomery County when we're trying to attract business and industry to the community. Some of the things that we do is attend site selector events like the SEK FAM Tour that we hosted here last month, or the Team Kansas event that we hosted or that we attended down in Houston last week. So reaching out to site selectors to build relationships with them is one way that we can help to get more interest in our community in terms of economic development. We've also spent a significant amount of time on the digital marketing campaign. So targeted Facebook ads and Google ads to try to attract not just the businesses, but the workforce to Montgomery County to support not only our existing businesses, but new businesses that come in and are going to have jobs available to fill. We've created some new publications. We've got our Choose Montgomery County for Business. We've got Choose Montgomery County for Workforce. And our most recent publication is Choose Montgomery County for Housing. And so this is something we developed with all of the housing directors throughout the county, focusing on highlighting some of those development projects that we have in the works. So when a business is trying to recruit workforce to the community, they know that they can find a place to live somewhere here in Montgomery County. And then finally, certifying our industrial park sites. When business and industry comes to the community, they're going to look at settling into an industrial area, not someone's backyard. So we've spent a lot of time to go through our due diligence process to ensure that environmental studies have been completed. We've communicated and worked with our utility partners to make sure that how many resources are available at a certified site. And then we've strategically placed those certified sites out in our industrial parks. And we've spent about $182,000 over the past 4 years to certify 7 different locations throughout Montgomery County. We have a new certified site down in Caney. We've got 2 in Coffeyville, 1 in Cherryville, and then 3 over near the Independence Airport. So all of this I say because we've tried to have a unified message when it comes to marketing Montgomery County, that we are open for business. And that's some of the reasons why we've seen so many people reaching out to Montgomery County Action Council, to the communities directly, and even to the county directly, to talk about some of these projects that they're interested in possibly bringing to Montgomery County. And I think that's why there are some concerns from people about data centers. data centers is not something that was on our targeted list. When we're trying to market specific or recruit specific businesses to the community, we're focusing on those core industries that are already here, bringing in additional manufacturers, focusing on ag-related industries to support our farmers and ranchers, those types of things. But we also, when it comes to that economic diversity, we also want to make sure that we are not solely relying on manufacturing or solely relying on agriculture. It's nice to have a little bit of diversity in there, especially when you're trying to stop the bleeding when it comes to the brain drain. We're educating our kids, sending them off to colleges and universities, and sometimes they don't come back. You know, not everyone wants to work in manufacturing for the rest of their life, so it's important that we do try to recruit additional businesses to the community. Things like IT support and data centers are coming and knocking on our doors right now.
And why do you think data centers are interested in places like Montgomery County?
There are several reasons. First, we have a very strong backbone when it comes to fiber optics. You know, fiber optics are easily accessible here, and they need that high-speed internet for them to function. We also have, access to utilities. With Coffeyville having their own municipal light and power, they're able to generate their own utilities or their own electricity, and that can be appealing to these data centers. And then plus we have an abundance of natural gas here in Montgomery County. So those are just a few reasons why data centers are knocking on our door, not to mention the affordable acreage that we do have available with industrial park sites that are already shovel ready.
So when data centers are, you know, if you will, in negotiations with some of these typically municipalities, I would assume, are they going to, you know, there's going to be probably some guardrails put in place as far as agreements go, right?
Absolutely. There's a variety of guardrails that are already in place. You know, we talked about some of this yesterday at the commission meeting and even last week at our annual meeting. There are guardrails that are in place no matter what type of project it is that's coming to Montgomery County or thinking about coming to Montgomery County. So I'll just go over a few of those. You have things like feasibility studies that the businesses are conducting and that the municipalities are conducting. They're trying to determine if Montgomery County is going to be a good fit for their business, and then the communities are trying to determine if that business is going to be a good fit for their community. So it's kind of like, you know, dating at the beginning. We're just kind of feeling each other out. I said out, not up, and just making sure that that it's going to work. Are we going to have a mutually beneficial relationship? They'll fill out a form, an intake form for us that tells us all about their project, everything from the number of jobs that they anticipate creating, how much electricity, gas, water they're going to be using, and those types of things. And that will help us narrow down and determine if we even have a site that's going to meet their needs. If, after they fill out that information, we do determine that we have a location that would be a good fit, then we start the permitting process. You know, they have to have everything permitted. Air quality permits, water permits, how are you going to manage your waste? You know, there is checklist after checklist that we have to go through to determine if this project is going to work in this particular location. And I think a lot of people, when it comes to data centers specifically, they're concerned about energy usage and water usage. And, you know, the technological improvements or advances that have come over the past several years really do make them more efficient with their use of utilities and of water. And so I think that right there is just another guardrail we have in place as well. We're looking at the new technological advances like closed loop systems that mean that they're using less water than before.
Well, you brought up water. We did have a caller who wanted to know why water usage is such an issue when it comes to large projects like data centers.
Yeah, and it's not just the data centers. You know, when you're talking about advanced manufacturers, oftentimes they have to use large amounts of water as well. It's important because there have been many times where we've been in a drought. You know, just because it rained quite a bit last month doesn't mean that we're still out of the woods. And so I think people are rightfully concerned about water usage. And data centers in the past, because they have so much equipment, you know, that equipment gets heated. connected. I don't know if you've ever had your phone plugged in or if you're outside on a hot day and that phone starts to overheat, and that's just a little bitty cell phone. Think about racks upon racks of computer equipment. It has to be cooled. But people are figuring out ways to do that in a more efficient manner so they're not having to use, you know, a million gallons a day. Some of the data centers we're talking to now, instead of a million gallons a day, they're talking about a million gallons a year and everything in between. So it is a concern, but we do have systems in place to make sure that they're not going to deplete the resources that are already there.
Very good. We're talking with Melissa Johnson from the Montgomery County Action Council. And of course, you know, as we go through all this, I know that, you know, the public does have the opportunity to learn more. I'm sure, you know, with any potential business, we've seen it in Parsons, you know, with their projects up there.
Sure.
They've had some public town halls and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. So I feel like, you know, if a company decides to come in, there will be opportunity for the public to learn more.
Absolutely. And, you know, since we have been fielding quite a few incoming calls from data centers, that's one of the reasons that Ben Brubaker has started having those conversations with the public, making sure that not only his commissioners are aware that we're having conversations with the data centers, but making sure that the public has a chance to weigh in. I don't want to speak for him, but I know he's got some planned upcoming town halls in August. I want to say early August. So when he has more information available and has that date published, you can rest assured Mac's going to be there as well. But we'll have those things. I mean, there's always opportunities for public comment. I think back to Spears Manufacturing and their expansion out at the Southwest plant. There was a public comment for that project, so people could express their support or their opposition to issuing industrial revenue bonds to help offset the cost of that project as well.
Very good.
Yeah.
So, Melissa, what else would you like to bring to our attention here today as we continue?
Well, I would just say, you know, kind of in wrapping it up, all of the things that I've talked about already, and again, some of those are just a few examples of the guardrails that we have in place. That process takes time. When you're doing feasibility studies, you're looking at 6 months, 90 days. Heck, I'm working with one company right now that's been in a feasibility study for about 2.5 years. So it does take time, and there will be an opportunity for the public to weigh in on any type of project that's coming to the area. But we just want to make sure that if anyone has questions or concerns about these projects, you know, we would encourage you to reach out for, you know, reach out to the sources for additional information and not rely on Facebook to educate you. In fact, we're going to be posting this on our website and social media. This is something that Kansas Department of Commerce put together about a year and a half ago. It's a data center FAQ sheet, and it kind of, you know, dispels some of the myths that are out there about data centers, and it also validates some of the concerns that our citizens have. It's a two-sided document that just kind of goes over everything from, you know, some of the systems that are in place to ensure that a data center, for example, is going to be responsible for the cost of any infrastructure improvements. And I think a lot of times people misunderstand that and think that that's going to be on the burden of the community. And that's just not the case. There are laws in place that require them to make the investment for that infrastructure improvement, which can also benefit the community for additional growth in the future. So, you know, reach out to us, reach out to your city managers. You know, we can help to provide you with information about projects and dispel some of those myths instead of, you know, causing unnecessary uproar on social media, which can be detrimental to our community when site selectors and businesses are doing research. If they see that, you know, that if we have the perception that we're not interested in having any new business come to the community, they're going to stop knocking on our doors.
That's a great point. And just wrapping up with that discussion, I know that some people have expressed concern about when a company is coming in, you often have NDAs, non-disclosure agreements.
Sure.
Why are those important when a company is coming in?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are many reasons. You know, it could be a publicly held company. If you've got a company that is considering relocating or expanding, they don't necessarily want their shareholders to know about that information prematurely. They They don't want their employees in another community to wrongfully assume that they're going to be closing down this campus because they're moving to Kansas. When they're going over their project description with us, they may have trade secrets that they don't want their competitors to know about. So there are a variety of reasons why we do have to maintain and protect their privacy. And we're going to do that for any business, whether it's a large company that's looking at coming to Montgomery County, or if it's an existing business that's already here. Maybe they're struggling with hiring and they're needing some assistance. Maybe things aren't going well for them and they're trying to figure out an exit strategy. Those aren't conversations that I have the right to tell. That's a story that the business owner should be telling. And so we're going to maintain confidentiality for every one of our businesses, whether they have two employees or 200 employees.
Very good. Well, as we wrap up our time together here, I know that you had your annual meeting here very recently. I understand that went pretty well.
It was great. We had a great annual meeting, and that was our award ceremony. So I just want to congratulate some of our award winners. The Curtis Levine Entrepreneurship Award went to April Nutt from the Independence Housing Authority. The Rob Gill Community Spirit Award went to Lou Foreman out of Cherryvale. The Pearl Schmidt Golden Shovel Award went to VSE Aviation. And this is only the second time we've had the Jim Kelly Lifetime Service Award. The first time it was to Jim Kelly, and this year it was presented to Tim Emmert. So congratulations to all of our winners, and thanks to Acme Foundry for sponsoring the annual meeting as well.
Fantastic. Well, we got about a minute left here. What do you want to get in on that time? I
know. Let's talk real quick about upcoming events. So now that we've got the annual meeting behind us, we are focusing on Taste of Montgomery County, which is our annual fundraiser. That's going to be taking place on September 17th out at in Cherryvale at Lakeside Cedar Lodge. We are currently recruiting sponsors and food vendors. We want to make this a bigger and better event than it was last year. And then if you haven't had a chance to join the fun professionals for their monthly pickleball outing, our next pickleball activity will be on Sunday, August the 16th at 7 p.m. And we're going to be back here in Coffeyville utilizing their new pickleball courts. So those are the next two upcoming events that I can think of right now.
All right. Well, Melissa, we really appreciate all the information. You're a wealth of knowledge, as always. If folks do want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
They can call my cell, 620-205-7690. They can shoot me an email, director@actioncouncil.com.
All right. That's Melissa Johnson here with the Montgomery County Action Council. Melissa, we'll look forward to chatting again here in a couple months.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
And on the way next, we have Lisa Wilson with the Independence Chamber of Commerce. She'll join us here in just a few minutes right after the news here on the Mighty 690. Going to be a hot one, a high on the way of 101.